I want to thank all of you who have expressed your thoughts on the loss of my friend, George Beasley. For 57 years, our families made memories together, and it was so very hard to let go. He was a good man, and many people benefited from his strength and his character. As human beings, we know that our time here is short. But in the hustle and bustle, we forget the time. Today, more than ever before, I am reminded of that fact. I would ask for your prayers for George's wife, Anne, their 5 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, who will miss his towering presence. The pandemic kept us apart for 14 months, time that was lost and can never be regained. Thank God I was able to visit with my friend 2 months ago. There was no inkling that he would be gone by June. We even talked about some trips that we'd like to take. And so I urge you to let loved ones know how much they mean to you now. Don't wait and approach the casket with apologies. They can't hear us. George was a thoughtful man. In 2007, we were in Tampa for the ACC basketball tournament. And as we walked to the arena from our hotel, our 5-year-old granddaughter, Grace, began skipping along on the sidewalk. She suddenly turned back and took George by the hand and asked him to come on and skip with her. At 75 years of age, George dutifully skipped along, a victory we will always treasure. In the end, it does not matter how much money we have, how large a house or fancy a car, only what we did with our lives. George Beasley lived a long and productive life. As we used to say to one another, you done good. Ever ask yourself why Democrats lie about everything? You've noticed it, right? The Democrat leadership will not tell you the truth about almost anything. They lie to everyone at every moment, at about almost everything and all the time. They lie to their opponents, to the voters, and, of course, they lie to each other. For instance, after clearly naming 2 associate Supreme Court justices and pledging that they would not know what hit them, the highest-ranking Senate Democrat claimed that he never said what he, in fact, did say. From the same event, a congresswoman with a straight face said to reporters that abortions are safer than the extraction of wisdom teeth. Really? Wisdom teeth end up doing more damage than killing a child every time one is performed? But lying about threatening opponents or what is viewed by Democrats as a niche social issue is not representative of everything they do, I can hear some protesting. Then what about public policy and tax dollars? Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders continually evaded the question when asked about how they would pay for their health care ideas. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren were asked repeatedly about how they would pay for Medicare for All. Other than nebulous wealth tax answers, they couldn't tell you. But with plans starting with costs of $92 billion to $1.3 trillion, even if you taxed every worker making more than $60,000 per year at 100%, it could not be funded. But no worries. The party that said that Pete Buttigieg won Iowa with 6,000 fewer voters than Bernie and took nearly a full week to get them counted believes it can offer such an expensive program and run it with precision on less money than currently exists. But if social issues and public policy basic facts are unimportant, imagine the dysfunction of a party who can't stop lying to itself. For the second time in 4 weeks, the Democrat National Committee changed its own rules to the televised debate qualifications. They changed a fundamental requirement of the number of individual donors a campaign had so that an uber-wealthy billionaire could jump in and participate. Long have the Democrats lauded how urgent it is to get money out of politics and have falsely claimed that they were the superior party of inclusion. Turns out they don't care about inclusion, diversity, or the honest voice of small money donors. They would literally be willing to sell their daughters into sex slavery, execute their own mothers, and sacrifice their sons to Satan himself if it promised a political win. You think I'm kidding? They lie about the simple, verifiable differences in what sex a person is based on what someone thinks as opposed to what their anatomy tells them they are. They lie about the capability to feel pain and survival chances of a preborn or even a newly born child. They lie about the good of our closest ally, Israel. They lie about the danger of our enemies, Iran, ISIS, the Taliban, China. They lie about the number of gun deaths we're dealing with. They lie about the economy. They are lying about the number of people who do not have jobs. They're okay if you lie about your ethnic heritage, as long as you're on their team. Translation, if you are a white female, but claim to be an American Indian, even with the faintest trace, then you're all good. If you claim you don't know what happened to your private servers, that you were never authorized to set up in the first place, and that you have no idea how more than 2,000 pieces of classified info got out, as long as you bleach-bit them, bashed them with hammers, and tell people they are lost, it's all kosher. If you claim that the other party is doing quid pro quo without proof, but explicitly deny having done so, when you yourself bragged about it on tape, it just goes with the Democrat territory. You cannot believe these folks, whether you're a Republican, an independent, or even a fellow Democrat attempting to run in their party. There is nothing about them that rings honest, nothing that speaks the truth. They are lying, godless Marxists. They want to destroy the most prosperous and free nation on earth. And they would lie to each other, sell their sisters at auction, and kill their babies just to do so. This issue of the crisis at the southern border deserves more than just a cursory look. The stampede into America by illegal immigrants will impact our country for decades. They are coming from all over, not just from Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. They include drug dealers, potential terrorists, thieves, and worse. Some have brought COVID-19 with them. Small children are being left abandoned. Some of them are simply dropped over a fence and left to die. The cartels are making billions by charging parents to bring their children across the border. Joe Biden is their greatest banker. Guatemala's president called out the Biden administration as the cause of this crisis. And when Vice President Kamala Harris finally visited that country, she encountered protests from its citizens. Harris was supposedly there to get to the root cause of the reason people are leaving and risking their lives to slip into America. But it does not cost a trip there to know the root cause. The people are living in misery as corruption at the highest level has taken away all of their opportunities. It does not take a bloodhound to sniff that out. More money from American taxpayers is certainly not the answer. That has already been tried far too often. The money goes into these countries, and it gets siphoned off at the top. There is some hope that the new Guatemalan president will try to curb corruption. But if the past is any indication, that hope is slim. Even some Democrats are distancing themselves from the Biden-Harris illegal migration dilemma. As the surge of illegal immigrants at the U.S.-Mexican border intensifies, Americans are expressing their growing concerns in two polls. Rasmussen reports that 65% of respondents to its survey see border security as a vital national security interest for the United States. 62% of voters say it is more important to gain control of the border than to legalize the status of illegal immigrant workers already living in the United States. Another poll conducted by Politico shows that support for the notion of a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants has declined dramatically, down 14% in the first 3 months of the Biden presidency. And that's mostly among Democrats. In fact, among respondents who identified themselves as Democrats, support dropped from 72% to less than 57%. According to Politico, the idea of giving illegal immigrants a way to become U.S. citizens has been popular for several years. But the new poll numbers show Democrats are losing the battle of public opinion on this issue. This continuing border crisis, for which the Biden administration is taking heat, bears responsibility for these poll numbers. Even the left-wing Washington Post seems to put the blame on Biden. As the Post put it, he issued 5 immigration executive orders on Inauguration Day alone and promised an immigration policy far more welcoming than that of his predecessor. His administration also began allowing unaccompanied minors into the country, a marked departure from the Trump administration's approach. Representative Vicente Gonzalez, a Democrat from Texas, also seems to put the blame on Biden. The Post quoted him as saying, "When you create a system that incentivizes people to come across, and then they are released, that immediately sends a message to Central America that if you slip across, you can stay. It incentivizes droves of people to come, and the only way to slow it down is by changing policy at our own doorstep. If they don't change the policy, the flow of continued migration traffic isn't going to stop or even slow down." Joe Biden dishonestly puts the blame for the calamity on former President Donald Trump, as does Vice President Kamala Harris, who has been charged with taking over the task of dealing with the border crisis. Biden says that Harris will take measures to stem the migration to our border with Mexico, but he could not say how she might be able to do that, nor has he said why he is not taking over this most pressing issue. But the American people know why Biden is not taking charge. He is totally inept and barely able to appoint Harris, much less act firmly on his own. The simple fact is that our country today is rudderless. Meanwhile, the news that Harris would be taking over the task of dealing with the border crisis was not well received in most quarters. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey was quick to call her the worst possible choice. Ducey said, "If President Biden's intent was to show that he's taking this issue seriously, he's really done just the opposite here. He is completely trivializing the crisis by putting someone in charge who flat out doesn't care. She has not even visited the border to view the crisis, and neither has the President of the United States. For its part, the mainstream media has given both of them a pass. Biden seems to contradict himself as regards to his blaming Trump when he declared to reporters that we're in the process of doing it now, including making sure that we reestablish what existed before, which was that they can stay in place and make their case from their home country. Does that mean that Biden will introduce measures that Trump put in place that successfully dealt with the border surges in his day? Representative Michael McCaul of Texas said, "They have created a humanitarian crisis down here at this border that you see now. And the reason these immigrants are coming is because he says words matter, and they do. His messaging is that if you want to come, you can stay." Kamala Harris, on her visit to Guatemala, finally called for the hordes of people to stop coming. But that was way too little too late. To get elected, Biden followed his party's left wing on immigration, and since elected, he has moved further to the left. You do not leave free cheese out for rats, and then ask those rats to quit eating the cheese. There is no question that Biden's recklessness created this crisis at the southern border. For the longest time, he and Harris denied there even was a border crisis, even as they refused to go to the border and see it for themselves. Think about this. While the mainstream media was triggered any time President Trump ducked any swampy tradition, such as the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Joe Biden largely gets a pass for failing to do such basic things expected of a new president as holding a press conference in his first 40 days or giving a timely address to a joint session of Congress. The fact that Vice President Kamala Harris is making calls to heads of government, including Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison and French President Emmanuel Macron, is not merely an interesting factoid. It is a troubling testament to the fact that our chief executive is abdicating his constitutional powers. If we were living in relatively tranquil times, such as certain points in the 1950s or 1990s, that would be troubling, but maybe not catastrophic. On the contrary, we are now amidst one of the most perilous moments in our country's history. A rudderless administration can quickly result in many mistakes, the magnitude of which will have a profound negative impact for generations to come. Sadly, that is happening as I speak. The Biden team is stacking up its shortcomings one on top of another. A current major national security calamity is the migrant crisis at our southern border. Like him or hate him, President Trump kept his campaign promises. He constructed over 450 miles of border wall, stemmed the tide of illegal crossings into our country, and strengthened both immigration and customs enforcement and U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Instead of continuing to put America first, as President Trump did, Joe Biden hung a proverbial free entry sign on our southern border, resulting in massive illegal immigration and tent cities of migrants in border towns like Tijuana. As a result, an almost 700% increase in unaccompanied migrant children have been referred to the Department of Health and Human Services. American taxpayers are left to bear the burden of costs. Longer term, the migrant crisis is sure to hit our working class population, whose jobs the migrants coming across the southern border will be competing for, and those people are used to working for $2 a day or less. One honest look at the recent video of Joe Biden including his virtual feed being cut off when he dared to invite questions at the end of a virtual meeting with the House Democrat caucus, makes clear that the current resident of the Oval Office is not up to the challenges of handling the burgeoning emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border. He can't even recognize the crisis, much less solve his own creation. Let me fact-check some of Biden's border crisis claims. Claim number one, that Biden had inherited one god-awful mess at the border from the Trump administration. That is demonstrably false. The border crisis is entirely of the Biden administration's own making. In the final months of the Trump administration, we saw border apprehensions increase because more people were coming illegally in hopes of a Biden election victory and all that Biden had promised them. However, it was not until Biden took office that monthly apprehensions exploded. Biden inherited a border that was under control thanks to strong and effective action by the Trump administration. In May 2019, the height of the 2019 crisis, 140,000 illegal aliens were caught crossing the border. However, by November 2019, this number was down to 42,000. And by April 2020, apprehensions were down to about 17,000. This decrease was thanks to the migrant protection protocols, which essentially eliminated fraudulent asylum claims at the southern border, asylum cooperative agreements with Northern Triangle countries, which gave individuals the ability to apply for protection closer to their own home country instead of the southern border or inside the United States border, and more construction of the border wall. Every one of these effective policies were still in place on January 20, 2021, when Joe Biden undid them with the stroke of a pen in the first days of his administration. We have seen the numbers skyrocket since then. Biden inherited the most secure border in U.S. history and promptly blew it apart to appease the far left and their intense hate for Donald Trump. Number two, it is getting urgent action now, Biden said. This claim is fatuous on its face. Vice President Kamala Harris, who Biden tapped weeks ago to lead the crisis response, won't even visit the border. She and Biden know that the press would have to be there, and the American people would see the mess they've made firsthand. They would see that it's a crisis. Holding Zoom calls and calling for amnesty is not urgent action. Building more intake facilities is not urgent action either. Urgent action would be restarting construction of the border wall that our Border Patrol routinely says is badly needed. It would be restoring the migrant protection protocols and asylum cooperative agreements with Northern Triangle countries. It would be untying the hands of immigration and customs enforcement and other law enforcement to allow them to deport those here illegally. Instead, the Biden administration is fiddling while the border burns. Lie number three. We had thousands of young kids in custody in places they shouldn't be and controlled by Border Patrol. We now have cut that down dramatically. Well, the truth is that while the number of unaccompanied minors in Customs and Border Protection custody has decreased, the numbers are clear. Most of those minors are simply being transferred from one government agency to another. In this case, CBP custody to the Department of Health and Human Services. And no matter who has custody of these minors, the Biden administration is doing nothing to eliminate the incentives for Central and South American parents to continue to send their children to the border. Until that happens, these sky-high numbers will persist. Another lie is the Biden claim that, well, look, we've gotten control. Nothing about the border crisis is under control. In just 2 months, more than 334,000 illegal aliens were apprehended trying to cross our southern border. Many more evaded arrest. This crisis is unsustainable, and the Biden administration's efforts to get more efficient in facilitating the release of illegal aliens into our communities, rather than addressing the crisis, is not the answer. The Biden administration broke the system and now has the temerity to blame the Trump administration for not implementing policies that would anticipate Biden's reckless behavior. It is truly astounding. These vicious cartels are banking profits of $14 million a day, and likely more, from trafficking and abusing women, children, and families through Central America and across the border. It's a human tragedy. To get a real sense of the bald-faced lies Democrats are willing to tell to the American people, just remember that they used the filibuster rules in Congress more than 300 times in 2020. And yet, just 1 year later, in 2021, they are calling those same filibuster rules racist. We have every reason to fear these people. I thank you for listening today. I spend a lot of time in research, checking the facts, to tell you things that you won't hear in the mainstream media. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time and same station. And God bless America.